Coffee and Cream on Hale Varsity Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Crosby dangles around Gerard. Backhand shot. He scores! Oh, mile high magic from the captain. A dart on the backhand over the right shoulder of Georgiev. And the Penguins get the first goal in this one. It's 1-0 Pittsburgh.
Still has it with Brunson. Trying to be annoying. Gets to the top of the circle. Jumper got it. Somebody. Anybody. Jimmy Butler's body. Now he's bowing.
I got
with a greeting for Dwayne Wade.
Davis for the 17-foot J above the right elbow. It's his game. He can't be stopped right now. 21 for the Lakers. Anthony Davis. They're up 86-77.
19 seconds to go. 6 second difference on the shot clock. Warriors with the ball. Curry's got it, a 1 point lead. Six to shoot. Curry behind the back. Curry drives, has a seam, lays it in. 8.5 seconds to go. Warriors by three.
Welcome in. Coffee and Cream on a Thirst Trap kind of Thursday. Live from the H&H Chevrolet Studios. Brought to you, actually sponsored by the Beanery. And we got some coffee in the morning. Not only the show, but a nice little iced coffee from my very well-dressed friend, my amigo, my compadre, my ace, Robbie Lula.
Good morning. What's going on, man?
So, you know, there's this thing about being insecure.
Okay.
That I know very, very well.
Me too.
I am not Natalie tired enough to be sitting next to one Robbie Lula.
Well,
very sharp.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Dapper Dan, I'm going to give you kudos on the pocket square. I like the little accent color.
Thank you.
Because it goes with the links on the button sleeve.
Yeah,
I'm kind of noticing.
I'm a big cufflink guy.
Yeah,
I like cufflinks a lot. Yeah.
Well, when you can't put your arms down, I think everybody can see them.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to have the proper amount.
So you know, it's like if you got a 37 inch reach and 37 inch arms, it's like it's a problem. I feel like you know, your cufflinks are like Wonder Woman bracelets, like you could just like block
just like
bullets. Yeah, it's like as we get childish already.
You know, my arms are actually pretty long for my height.
Yeah, but I can't put my arms down.
But it's the mobility issue.
Yeah.
You know, like there's
range of motion.
Bit, yeah,
I saw you get out of the vehicle and kind of whipping around pretty good this morning. Feeling good. Big day for you today.
Well, you know, I got some stuff going on. I got some meetings later. So
what do you got going on today? I got meetings. Yeah, you want to expound? No.
Well, listen, no. I'd be happy to expound to you. It's just when some people ask, like they don't actually
care.
Well, it's
grasp it.
It's a matter of how much detail they care about.
Yeah.
Because I assume if you ask, you care.
Correct.
Right?
But it's care.
A matter of, I think that's I swear. I think you're going like all for one there.
No, wait, Shane. Who's the little, yeah, there's that one. And
that's what I thought.
I care for you. That would be the black people's version of the same crooning. I asked Shane like he'd know the group.
All for One's black.
Kenny.
No, are they?
Yeah.
No, wait.
They were like knockoff Boys to Men.
Oh, yeah, another one of those bubblegum boy bands.
So
there was, like, all of them for one. There was, like, Shy, and there was, like, this run of High Five. She's playing hard to get.
Yeah, yeah, you had this. It was, like, early to mid-90s. It was, like, the pre-boy band stage.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, let's be honest here. It's like everything else in music. Like, black people did it first, and then white people's like, hey, that's a good idea.
Okay, Elvis. Wow. Welcome Thursday. Welcome to Thursday with old L squared, because there's two L's in Lula.
I mean, three,
yeah, but two back to back.
Yeah.
I got nothing for you because none of that.
It just went right over your head.
Yeah.
Were you a Chuck Berry guy? He used to say his music got stolen.
Sometimes some guys can be too cool for school. These guys weren't. They wanted to do this.
Oh, and we hear
Keith Sweat guy.
Full disclosure, kind of. My sister was a big Keith Sweat guy.
You know who's a big Keith Sweat guy? It's our guy Nick Baugh.
We had a CWS show years ago, and whoever was behind the deal back at the studio was a music guy. And he kept playing different bed music, and so we could never have the show. Because
you were just talking about the music the whole time?
All show.
Yeah, no.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, they're CWS shows. Like, they're nonsense anyway, right?
It's like, what are we doing? But yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that was probably me.
Was that you?
Probably.
Yeah.
It sounds really
familiar. Yeah, Nick is, I think he's, it's from his time down at Kansas. Well, who was his roommate? Like Keith Langford?
I think.
I think Keith Langford was a big Keith Sweat guy.
So he's got a couple.
And, like initiated him into the Keith Sweat life, I think.
Like Nobody I Liked, whatever he did with Athena Cage, little duet. I like that. I like Make It Last Forever.
Okay.
He was such a whiner, though.
Yeah.
That's but I guess that was kind of the thing.
Yeah, but that's why I don't like just this. Just, you're gonna not even gonna understand how I got here. That's why I don't like Ed Sheeran, who's probably like physically as far away from Keith Sweat as you can be.
Yeah,
but he whines all the time.
Yeah,
his first song was like, "Hey, I know we weren't dating, but you cheated on me." It's like that's no, she didn't.
Well,
you just said you weren't dating.
I see. Much like Dave Aranda yesterday, I think being honest is what people want now because Adele is a whiner too, and it works for her.
Yeah, but that voice.
Yeah. How about?
Also, I don't know if she's like, I don't take Adele as whining. I take Adele as mourning. She's like always, she's like in mourning about whatever's happening, which is a little different. Like, and maybe it's just
settle down and you
yeah
found a girl.
That's someone who's like heartbroken.
Marry now.
Like, you don't say stuff like that unless you are in it deep.
No. Hey, how about like if you know you're kind of just doing your thing, minding your own business.
Yeah.
You kind of were in love, but now you're not. You've moved on.
Yeah.
And she just hits you with that on the playlist. You like get it anonymously in the mail. You like wake up in a cold sweat. You're like, whoa.
Does she
still like me?
I think that happens a lot. Like all, you know, like all the, it's the Taylor Swift thing, right? Where she, like all
I don't
the songs.
Know, I don't know anything about Taylor Swift.
Okay, well, all the songs are like about somebody.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if.
Like passive aggressive, I want you type stuff?
No, I wonder if it's
I'm
just.
I'm mad at you?
I wonder if it's like a Michael Jordan thing. You know how he would like imagine slights?
Yeah.
And like make stuff up about, who was the guy for was it the Bullets?
Oh, yeah.
It was like good game, Mike.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he never said it.
Yeah. So Charles Barkley told a story. I just watched this on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it was the moment he knew Michael Jordan was crazy.
Yeah.
They were out playing golf with Chuck Daly. And they were going to get a couple more rounds in.
Mm-hmm.
Or Michael wanted to get another round in.
Yeah.
And Chuck was like, hey, man, you know, we
got
played
a game today.
Yeah, we play.
Yeah.
Mike was like, nah, man, I'm getting another round in. So he said he played another 18. He said they bounced.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the arena, you know, getting ready to go. And he said the team that they were playing, their point guard was real nice, mm-hmm. little shifty dude. And he said Chuck was in the locker room giving out assignments. And he said Mike was like, nah, I got their point guard. Like, come on, man. You know, like – messing it up for everybody. Mike was like, I said I got their point guard.
Yeah.
I got such and such. And he said during the half, Mike was just locking him up. He said he was guarding him 94 feet, and he had given him like 18, mm-hmm. which was a lot for the Dream Team at that time because they were sharing the rock, right?
Yeah.
He says, short story long, he went and played the other 18 to get his mind right because he didn't like what the guy had said about him to the papers about the upcoming matchup. He said the man is fresh off the golf course guarding a buddy 94 feet because he wants to give him the business.
Yeah, no, he's a straight psychopath. Michael Jordan, we're all lucky Michael Jordan found basketball. Otherwise, I'm convinced he'd be a serial killer.
Yeah, right. Figure it out.
Like, that's what I mean. He's one of the, like, the way his mind works, you're like, thank God he found basketball. Otherwise, we'd all be in a ton of trouble.
What do you say? Some people think he's a tyrant. Well, you know, he wasn't a nice guy. He said, well, that's you.
That's what I mean.
You never won anything.
Like, it's like, you know, people who say that, people who never won anything. That's what I mean. Like, so I think artists do the same thing with these, like, breakup songs, right? Like, sure, sometimes you get your heart broken, whatever. But I think they kind of, Michael Jordan, imagine the slights a little bit, and then they, like, build it up in their mind and then just use it.
So some people are like that, man. It's like, don't Haven't you heard these coaches? What did we just make fun of a couple of the last champions for? We were mad at Georgia.
Yes.
For a couple of their
games. Believed in us.
Which, again.
Like you were like, you were number one all year.
Robbie, though, I'm going to die on this hill. I'm just telling you, if those guys are chilling in Athens.
Yeah.
Right? They're the defending champs.
Yeah.
And you hear, just say you hear one or two radio show snippets.
Absolutely.
You're mad.
And here's the other thing. Because I think this is sort of happening with Creighton right now, too, where they are, like, locally it's worse, right? So we're not in Athens, right? We're not listening. I'm not, at least. You might, because you watch and listen to everything. But I'm not, like, tuning in to Athens sports talk radio, like, godogs.com or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm mostly consuming the national coverage of Georgia, right? Well, I could imagine, because I've seen, like, the Alabama message boards, where they only win by two touchdowns, three touchdowns, and they're like, Saban's lost it. Get rid of him. Bring back Kirby Smart. You know, they lose their minds, right, over the stupidest things. So I could understand a world in which local Georgia coverage gets a little stupid because you see it here where sometimes local Creighton coverage, and listen, I throw myself in there because I do that too, where it can get a little stupid. Right? Especially you go through a 6-game losing streak in the middle of the year and everybody's like, what the F is going on here? I thought this team was a top 10 team. I thought this was a Final Four quality team. And then you just lost 6 games in a row. You know, you start to ask some questions. And to be fair, it's a 6-game losing streak. You deserve to be asked questions of.
Is that a lot?
It's not good. They were 500 a third of the way through the season. That's bad, DB.
And speaking of Bama, since we're just jumping around this morning, like, you know, just keeping folks entertained, again, we appreciate you being part of your morning. Hopefully you're like Robbie, as we are sponsored by the Beanery, having a nice iced coffee. So can I just say this before I move on to the Bama point?
Absolutely.
So the iced coffee, shout out to the Beanery, 4 great locations. What are you doing with the Pepsi?
So that's after the coffee's over.
Walk me through it.
It's Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
First of all, I don't drink regular soda.
Okay.
Diabetic, the sugar's bad.
Right.
No, I drink a lot of liquids.
Okay, because next I'm going to ask you if there's chicken noodle soup in that old man thermos.
No, that's that's just ice. Right now, because I like my beverages very cold.
Me too.
Like really, really cold.
God made you special. Well done.
Thank you. I don't like hot beverages at all.
Me neither.
That's why I wasn't a coffee guy for so long.
Air high five.
Pop. That's why I wasn't a coffee guy for so long, and then the iced coffee thing became.
So there's just ice in there? Because what I imagine you doing is unscrewing the lid and like pouring chicken noodle soup in there.
So I'm not a huge soup guy.
Okay.
There are certain soups I like, but no, I wouldn't bring soup in the morning. Soup in the morning's weird.
Soup in the morning.
Also, soup while you're doing a radio show is weird.
I don't think.
By the way, we have a lot of ice here, so you don't have to bring ice with you.
I appreciate that.
Just giving you a heads up on that.
Not all the places I do radio have ice ready made
to go
for me, so yeah. I appreciate that. When I was doing shows down in Lincoln with Happer, I would bring two of those, both filled with ice, because I'm down there and I'm in Lincoln for 6 hours or whatever. And I was like, afraid is too strong of a term. I was very anxious about running out of cold beverages.
Yeah, there is such a thing, you know, as bad ice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know the ice from my house is good.
Legit.
Yeah, like I don't put weird stuff in my fridge or freezer, so it like, because it changes the taste of the ice, right?
Yeah, low key between me and you and the 6 people listening right now, one of the greatest things about moving from my old house, better ice maker.
Ooh, so you're going to.
Did I tee you up? So much for Saban and Oates.
We'll get there eventually. Probably. There is, I mean, I've been so tempted. There is this like $600 ice maker.
Stop.
On Amazon.
Stop.
It makes like the perfect nugget ice.
Nugget.
From Sonic, the Sonic ice.
Oh, the little chunklets.
Yeah, the nuggets.
Yeah.
It makes that in your house, and it's incredible. So I know somebody that has one.
Here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
How long are those going to last?
The nuggets?
I'm team chunklet, too, right?
Yeah, the little nuggets.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, like incredible.
Every day that ends
good
in
good crunch. Yeah. Yeah.
What if those machines break? We cool or
well? So
and who's fixing them? I mean, is that on my Surface One plan or
fair point? So you can buy, at least on Amazon, not to like make Jeff Bezos more money, but you can buy service warranties on them.
Okay.
And so I think you get like manufacturers usually 1 year, and then they offer like a 3 or a 5. And I feel like by 5 years. I've gotten my money's worth out of an ice machine.
I contributed to Amazon yesterday.
I buy everything.
Courtesy
from
of Nebraska Hype Man. I'm still mad at him, and he has no idea why.
What did he do?
He tweeted out this.
You're mad.
You said you were mad.
Shut up, Shane.
Got him.
See, every time you come in here, he loses his mind.
He does. Shane loves me. We know this.
Hey, let's team
up. It's because I bring him treats.
Team up on the black guy, the other one. Hey, so
another one.
Okay,
Nebraska hype man, Amazon.
Yeah, he tweeted out this picture yesterday of this thing called Fit Soda.
Okay,
and he said, I can't remember exactly what the tweet was. It was some he cussed, so I couldn't retweet it.
Sure.
I started to because I was like, I think people can discern whether I would talk like that. Or
yeah,
and he goes, man, if you haven't had this, it's good as whatever,
yeah.
Right? Fico matter, and
which is an ironic thing to say, but anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's not good, right? Yeah. But I
don't want my soda to taste that way.
But because I've been traumatized by severe, I googled it instead of asking questions because I was just going to ask him. I was like, hey, man, you know, blase, blase. But in the back of my head, I just heard, Google it. Like, do it yourself. Like, Google it. So I Googled it. You know, I read the reviews. You know, I'm team carbonation, but I don't want soda. I tried to teach Shane how to drink club soda 2 days ago.
Okay.
We're not quite there yet, but I was just telling him how I weaned off of pop some years ago. Yeah, I got 2 cases.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't get his flavor. He was like team creamsicle.
So what makes it Fit Soda?
Like so it's like no sugars.
Sure.
It's carbonated. It's supposed to have tremendous flavor, and it has some energy components like amino.
Oh, okay. So it's basically just like diet soda with amino acids.
Yeah, but I seriously scrutinized. And I looked at some guys that had some pretty good frames, and they're swearing by it, so it's like,
so
okay.
It's like it was... Was it like a stevia deal instead of love?
That's the sweetener thing. Yeah. Like, did I tell you about the time I listened to a church sermon and the guy? he's done very well in business. He has since moved. He started with an internship with Sokol, but he said aspartame. The whole sermon, he said aspartame. And I couldn't for the life figure out what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the additive on the, I said, aspartame? And then he had me thinking I was wrong because he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But anyway, is that what you're talking about?
Stevia is like the more natural artificial sweetener.
Not the guy doing broadcasts that's 16 times better than Avery Smith and Avery Johnson, and they tried to put him with Avery Johnson. And
no, that's Stevia Smith.
And it was a debacle.
Yeah, first of all, three-man booths is a tough one.
They're hard.
Really, really hard.
Pass the ball to David.
And Avery Johnson, woof.
What does that mean?
No,
not
thank
good.
You. Hard pass.
Wait, woof.
It's like, it's from Home Alone, where little Macaulay Culkin's like...
I've seen that movie 2,000 times. I should probably pay better attention.
So he's like, Buzz, your girlfriend, woof. When he like sees the picture of his brother's girlfriend.
Oh, that's early. I was barely locked in by
then. Yeah. But so I'll just say woof sometimes, and that's what I'm...
Woof.
Yeah, it's woof, woof.
Like,
oh, I see.
Thank you, Art.
So you hit up some Fit Soda.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at maybe getting a Soda Stream.
Thought about it.
Because soda prices have gotten a little absurd.
So Shane
They've
just
gotten aggressive.
Shane just spent like $4.99 for or $5.99 for a 12-pack.
Yeah, that's actually not that bad of a price for what is normal now.
Really?
I used to get those mugs for like $250 a pop. Like $250 a 12 pack.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I'm looking into. Like I scoured.
I'm mad that Hy-Vee bubbly water is now $1.10. It used to be 77 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like $7 for $7 and I was like, okay, it's still not double digits.
My wife drinks this. It's Olipop.
Ollie?
Ollie, like O L L I pop.
Like the trolley?
Sure. I think we're missing an E there. I think Ollie spells it with an E.
Man, but, listen.
And I don't really know. I think it's supposed to. I think it's supposed to kind of mimic the effects of kombucha, but tastes like soda.
Yeah, I wish I could stomach kombucha. I choke it down.
So that's it's got some of the like probiotic and prebiotic and fiber and whatever. And she really likes it. She swears by it. I haven't tried it because. I'm good on my stuff.
I got to slide this in because I'm curious to see what you think about. And good on me already.
Yeah.
But can I just tell you how I remembered it, though?
Absolutely.
Because your pocket square is crimson.
Alabama.
So it brought me. It's weird. I swear to goodness. But that's how I dialed back in. Right. So obviously, Saban suspends.
Yes.
His 5-star. Right. Yeah. He uttered the phrase, I'm just curious to see what you think about it.
Oh, I know where you're going.
There is no wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
He's got a coach 13 doors down that just rationalized wrong place.
Someone who was not right uninvolved in a murder.
I mean, allegedly. I don't know.
I mean, he was involved in some form or fashion.
Okay.
Was he involved to a criminal extent? I don't know.
But
he was involved in some, like, that's accurate, right? Like,
am I reading too much into that, or is he trying to send a message?
No, he's 100% sending a message. I don't think Nick Saban does anything on accident.
See, that's how I feel about Matt Rhule.
Exactly. And that's why they're both good football coaches. Obviously, Matt Rhule's not Nick Saban. Like, settle down, people. I'm not saying that. But there is an intentionality of action and words that successful people in whatever industry tend to have.
Everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in.
Mm. And he's right.
Mm.
Like, that to me, this goes back to a thing that you know I love about Coach Rhule, and that it's one of the only things I care about in general, accountability and responsibility. That's what he's talking about right there. Is what happened to Brandon Miller after he gave the gun back his fault? Not necessarily, but he made some decisions to get him there.
Mm. Now you got me going because I remember one thing that Coach Rhule said at the coaches clinic. And we'll get to that as we'll set the lineup. We're off to a ripping start. You know how Ravi and I do it. Back after this on Coffee and Cream. Michigan Lance, stay right there.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back. Coffee and Cream. Programming note. They are not letting folks in Lincoln until probably sometime between 7 now and 7:50. I don't believe those doors will open until about 7:50 for media. So we'll catch up with Andrew Rogers maybe later on, maybe just tomorrow when he's back on the show. But he is down there eyeballing practice. Fantastic show. We'll see if we can make you some money with Brian Edwards. He's coming up at 8:45.
Right. Butter the cream cheese on the bagel.
Or something like that he said one time. Shane, what did he say about cream cheese and a bagel? He said something, and I thought it was funny, and I was like, I kind of like this guy. Then we're down in Vegas. And
I don't really love it.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
using the cream cheese to butter the bagel?
He's different. Bruncy, back from
Vegas. Got to be touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Okay.
Is that too much?
Yes, stop.
Well, you know what?
Shame on me.
It's a child. Michael Bruns, fresh off vacation. I got to get his thoughts on Nebraska baseball and Creighton. And it's basically his fault that the bullpen has not settled in, because a month ago when I asked him about having the ability to win midweek games because of their depth, he would not agree with me.
Yeah.
A little ominous foreshadowing.
Not great.
He said, well, I don't know.
I don't know about all that, yeah. TV.
Turns out we still don't know. And then we'll talk to our mutual friend. How many group text buddies do you think that Jacob Padilla is in?
Oh, I would say a bunch.
A bunch?
Well, because he's got all of his work people, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's in like – I know he's got like a Slack channel or whatever that is, right? That's like a corporate group chat. But then
oh, what?
A Slack channel.
No, I get it.
It's like a corporate
that was
group
just,
chat.
No, I get it. Why was that just at the forefront of the old –
well,
Rolodex.
So he'll tell us sometimes, be like, oh, they were talking about this in the Slack or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, I know it exists.
Jacob would be – so we talk kind of hardcore factual stuff. We do get some opinions. We say some things to each other.
Yeah.
That I think we – if it's about a young person, we may not, like, just want to run them over.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But you have to assess. He strikes me as the type of guy – I don't think you could be dropping a lot of funny anecdotal or rumors in a Jacob Padilla chat. Is that?
Well,
Jacob likes just the facts.
He does like facts. So he's a like a report. Like he's a journalist.
Is he a journalist in your text group?
Not to the same extent.
Okay.
Like he'll give opinions and he'll make jokes and things like that. So
he is low key funny.
No, he is and really really good dude. He is very – he takes what he does very seriously, and I appreciate that about him. So he's looser in the group text.
Okay.
Not to say he's a different person, because he is who he is, right? But he's certainly not as opinionated as I am, or at least
no
not
way.
As vocal as about his opinions as I am. But, no, he's it's not talking to a robot or anything. Yeah. I mean, he's got opinions and jokes and things like that, and he participates. I mean – our boy Alex Sindelar is in the group chat, and
he's hysterical.
Yeah, so you have to kind of understand, if Jacob's willing to be in a group chat with Alex Sindelar, then there's another side to Jacob that most people don't see, if that makes sense.
One that could put up with 100% sarcasm.
Well, that could put up with both Sindelar and me at the same time.
It's tough. Sounds like a lot of Creighton.
So, there's a lot of Creighton, there's a lot of Nebraska, there's just kind of a lot. In there, yeah.
And we'll close with David Cobb, talk about the Sweet 16, which starts today. But before we do that and I get to what I want to talk about with practice coming up today, let's get to Michigan Lance. Michigan Lance, good morning. How are you? Michigan Lance, good morning. How are you?
Morning, boys. How you doing?
I'm good.
What's up, Lance?
You sound like you're in an awful good mood. Where are you on your way to school? You teaching?
No, just got done dropping off the kiddos.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they leave stuff when you try to help them out and prepare them for the day.
Oh.
And they leave things like water when they have, like, they don't need to hydrate.
Yep, that would be Micah Daniel Benning.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Man.
I get it.
I know you feel my pain, DB.
Yes, I do. We somehow made it to Wichita without a basketball bag.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
I know them days.
That's tough, man.
Oh, not them days. I'm living those days. I mean, we forget football shoes. Oh, yeah, we have a football game.
Yeah
that, you need those, don't you?
Funny story. We parent how we're kind of parented. I remember I was playing with a youth organization, Gladiators, and I forgot my helmet at home. Mm. And it's a really good team. You know, Clinton was on that team. Mike Stick, Steve Stanifer.
I remember the mythology of those teams. Yeah, those were great.
Had some
y'all set it off,
fellas, right? And uh-huh. I forgot my helmet, and I just didn't think I should practice. Listen, why did they go in the clubhouse at Gladiator Park and give me the worst two-bar Terry Bradshaw looking helmet out there? My dad was dead set on me wearing that helmet. I wasn't going to put that thing on.
Right. Hey, listen, it was your fault.
Why did I sit in the car and cry like a four-year-old for 2 hours and about 5 minutes watching practice? He pulled the car around in the gravel so I could see.
Oof.
Yeah. Guess what we didn't do anymore?
Forget your helmet?
We bring the helmet.
Oh, right, right. Hey, man, geez, I wish we were that hard on our kids.
Yeah, Dave,
I
mean, so, we had, you know. our head coach, Dave Guy, he was like, is this really? He grabbed me by my arm in public.
Okay. Right, said, hey, right.
Well, guess I'll be, I'll see you guys later.
Have a good day, guys.
Bye-bye. What's up this
right,
morning?
Right. Oh, man, it got Robbie back. Hey, DB's like a.k.a. Jesse Jackson out here.
Uh-oh.
You're just a rainbow coalition of everything. You're so woke. Robbie, Robbie, what nationality are you?
My dad's from India.
Okay, yeah. Hey, man, hey, DB's helps out everybody.
Oh!
The women in her that spot and her that sports. DB, you're just the wokest guy.
Yeah. You can miss me with that one. Wow.
Coming out hot today.
Yeah, I know. Steaming.
I have to ask you, Robbie, because you code-switch very well. So I can't tell by your when you talk or your professional
do you know what code-switching
voice
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's tough.
There's a great TED Talk on code-switching, too, DB.
Listen, what I tell you about those folks that hype up TED Talk? A lot of pretenders out here that ride the coattails of TED Talk. And them guys aren't any good. Some
hey,
of them
and it's
are,
so
right?
many of them.
Yeah.
It's so many of them, though. Yeah. Like, it's become water. It's like the NFL Hall of Fame. Yeah. But anyway, the real reason I called was for
I got your TED.
Right.
Wow.
Is, Creighton basketball. All right, expectations. And, DB, you know how I've been with Creighton basketball expectations. I don't know. I don't think Robbie knows, but you. How have I been with their expectations?
Well, they need to have them and say them out loud and be held accountable because it's a top 25 program.
Thank you. Yes, you're in the Big Boy Conference. You're in the Big East. Like, hey, this you know. So it's starting to feel like it's starting to turn. Like it's starting to feel like people were expecting a Sweet 16. You know, the second weekend Sweet 16. You know, was preseason top, but 10 to top 5. I mean. Like they were disappointed when it wasn't going good. So help me out, DB. Is everybody trying to catch up with me now with the expectations,
Robbie?
Or are we still kind of like you know in the valley?
I mean, I've been on the expectations the whole time, and I agree with you. I think that if you want to be a big boy program, you have to act like a big boy program. And to be honest, I don't think they do all the time in terms of the way they handle expectations, whether it's the people around the program itself, the
mm-hmm.
people who cover the program. I think sometimes they kind of shy away from it. And I understand some of it's coach speak and things like that. But, I mean, listen, going into the year, you're top 10 in the country. You've got five guys in ESPN's top 100 in terms of college basketball players. If that
yep.
team doesn't make the second weekend, it's a huge disappointment. And that's the second weekend is the point where it starts to become acceptable. Right, you've got Princeton in the Sweet 16. It's going to be unacceptable if they don't make the Elite Eight. I'm sorry to say it. I get Princeton's a good basketball team. They're a 15 seed. You have to beat Princeton to make the Elite Eight. Like that's a non-negotiable. But people don't want to talk that way because it wasn't that way for so long, and there's still a very sometimes small school vibe around the program. Even
yeah,
though they're playing
yep.
with big boy, big school expectations now.
Hey, they better bring it, man. Ed Cooley at Georgetown. You got Rick Pitino now at St. John's. Like, hey, man, I don't even know. Where is Providence? So did Providence
be
like, oh, he did us wrong. Exactly, Rhode Island. I didn't even know that. You tell who?
Hey,
you
want to
live in D.C. or Rhode Island?
Yeah, I already get it. We're going to get into coaching searches. Max Stang, Shrewsbury at Notre Dame, a whole lot. Don't turn the dial.
Coffee and Cream with Rodgers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back, Michigan man, Michigan Lance, the man people love to hate. We welcome you back to. Are you gonna be all right or should
no,
we?
No, I'm good.
If you want to do like a tag team thing, we can get a partner.
That's not true.
No, it's true.
We are making fools out here.
It's different.
He is very different.
Very different. Expectations, Austin, on Twitter. And I don't even know if this is true about Iowa, but it's just funny how these things get built because they have to have come from somewhere, right?
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, Austin is like, hey, you know, Creighton has the Iowa expectations. And it's like, I just, unfortunately, one of them is kind of my guy, D-Rock, where he's a huge Iowa fan, mm-hmm. and he's mad every year. Almost sure. every year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's, like, true,
yeah,
but it does come from somewhere, right? It just doesn't come out of – maybe it's because the athletic department.
So that's what I think it is, right? So I'd need someone to define for me Iowa expectations because
– hey, Austin, 888-638-4876.
Well, so because I think you're right. I think most of the fans are not satisfied with what the athletic department seems to be satisfied by, right?
You're dang right.
Like, the athletic department seems to be okay with mediocrity Kirk Ferentz, and then every once in a while, he jumps up and gives them a big year, and they seem to be able to live with that, right?
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're 6-6, 7-5, 8-4. Oh, snap, we got 10, 11 wins that one year, then back down for another 4-5, whatever. Which, if that's fine, if that's who you want to be. And, listen, I'm not throwing shade. It's better than who Nebraska's been. That's obvious.
Wow.
Well, that's always the next thing when you talk bad about Iowa, right? It's like, well, they're better than Nebraska. Yeah, we know.
Well.
Duh. Almost everybody has been better than Nebraska.
Correct.
They have the longest Power 5 bowl drought in the country. We get it.
Hey. Is he talking to me?
No, I'm talking to the Iowa fans that I know are listening, that every time you say anything negative about Iowa as a Nebraska person, they're like, oh, well, we're better than Nebraska. Yeah, we get it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you. This is a you problem.
Well, hey.
Okay? It's like the thing where, no, for real, it's when you call somebody out on something, yeah. You're like, yeah, well, what about you? What about this? It's the what about people.
Oh, they're my favorite because the inability to take self inventory is probably how we got to the original conversation.
That's what I mean. So let's start with the fact we understand on the grand scale of things, Iowa currently better than Nebraska. Okay, let's start there so we can just avoid that part of the conversation. But Iowa as an athletic department at least has seemed to be okay with some years we're going to be very mediocre, and we can live with that. I don't know if that's how Iowa fans feel. The Iowa fans in my life don't feel that way. They don't love that way of doing business. But I also think there's a fear, and we see this with a lot of people, of who are we going to get? Who would be better? Is it going to be better under anyone else? We saw this with Pelini, right? Well, if we fire Pelini, who are we going to get? Shouldn't we be happy with the 9 wins? I mean, I know it doesn't look great all the time, but, you know, X, Y, Z excuses. The fact of the matter is you have to take inventory for what's happening in and of itself. And then you worry about, okay, is this a problem or not? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, then you start figuring out solutions to the problem. Just because you can't figure out the solutions doesn't change the answer to the first problem, right?
Correct.
And that's where people get lost because they take everything as a whole picture. And they go, oh, well, the answer to this might be yes, that there's a problem, but I don't know the answer, so I'm going to pretend there's not a problem.
So, but here's the deal, though. So when you're talking, what would be the equivalent to two Sweet 16s in the last 3 years in football? It's got to be more. It's got to be at least playing for a conference championship.
Yeah, I think so. I think being at least conference championship game, winning your division.
No, Sweet 16 greater than winning your division.
Well, that's what you win your division. You end up in the conference championship game.
How many? Yeah, okay. Because I was going to say, yeah, that's a brave.
In a power conference. Power conference.
Thank you. Okay.
If you're in a power conference and you win your division, I think that's close. Because you're talking, what, 5 power conference teams or power conferences? So you're talking about 10 teams. I'd say it's close.
Roughly?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if expectations can be fluid.
Or maybe New Year's Six Bowl. Maybe that's a better. Because you're getting your playoff teams.
Nitty gritty.
Plus the New Year's Six. You're okay. In the neighborhood of 16-20.
So let's say winning a Power Five conference.
Okay. That's like an Elite Eight, Final Four type.
So we're closer.
Elite Eight. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the playoff is the Final Four. So Elite Eight.
So expectation level change?
It should if you're doing that consistently.
Creighton is a top 20-25 program.
Yeah, no further than 25.
Okay, top 25 program, right?
Yeah, I think you could make an argument for top 20, but the track record isn't super long, so I would take top 25.
So the expectations.
Yeah, the expectations
are second weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
Listen, it was disappointing. No matter what people say, it was disappointing that none of the Corver teams made a Sweet 16. It was disappointing that none of the Doug teams made a Sweet 16. It was disappointing that it took until 2 years ago to make a Sweet 16, especially when you see the likes of Wichita State, who you were beating up on in conference.
But isn't the irony of this whole thing? I'm squirming in my seat. The irony of this whole thing is Nebraska got in this position because they didn't want to be average.
Well, that's what happens when you take big swings. Sometimes you strike out.
Do we need a back pat for trying, or are we mad because
you don't get
we tried to shoot our shot?
No, because
we know the famous phrase, we want to gravitate to mediocrity and blah blah blah, and we had to look and see where Iowa was, and
that's
and
leadership.
And we were mad, like we didn't like just being consistent.
Correct, and we also didn't like the fact that we had dropped down a level from where we were. Right? It's about the
content. When though? You're talking the 90s?
Well, I mean, that's what they were comparing it to. When you're talking about Steve Peterson in 2003, the direct comparison is mid late 90s.
Well, besides the fact I think he had an agenda. I think folks, cuz we're being disingenuous. We're not telling the truth. Nobody wanted to get blown out by Penn State and people didn't like our roster. It's become popular now to say, well, everything changed since that. Like, I don't want to keep revisiting that.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Right? Like, we just heard the conversation between some. I don't know if you listened to the sit-down between Coach Osborne, Trev Alberts, and Matt Rhule, where they said they were alluding to something that I've been talking about for – I don't know, 8-9 years. Bo got me started on it. He actually got me thinking about it. Where, and so I just coined the phrase, you can embrace the past, but you can't be held captive by it. What they were saying during the sit-down is, hey, listen, you can understand where you came from, but you're constantly evolving. It's something new now.
It's the Great Gatsby problem.
Oh, I like this. I was listening to a guy talk about Kipling this weekend, and now you're back to the Great Gatsby.
So the entire point of that book, it was a book first, in case you're wondering. It's not just about Leo or Robert Redford, if you're going with the older version. The entire point of that book is that Great Gatsby is trying to recreate his past. Mm-hmm. He's trying to recapture something that is gone. When he had created what otherwise appears to be a great life for himself, he couldn't see because he was so focused on recapturing the one thing from his past that he couldn't have.
Yeah, the spinoff of that is The Matrix.
And even when he got it within its grasp, it wasn't what he wanted it to be because it wasn't the same. So here's the thing. Even if Nebraska does return to national prominence and is fighting for college football playoff spots and things like that, it's not going to be the 90s ever.
No, I think we're cool with that. I think the misnomer is of the low-hanging fruit is people want to go back to the 90s. Coach Rhule said something the other day. He goes, you know, he says, I know one thing. I believe we're going to win here.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But if we don't, I'm going to be accountable to it, to you, and for it. Is that good enough to buy you time while you're trying to get there?
Well, I mean, you have to win some along the way. That's the rub, right? Is you have to win some along the way. You don't have to return to national prominence. But here's what I think people really mean when they are yearning, quote-unquote, for the 90s. I don't think anybody expects 3 national championships in 4 years. I don't. I don't think they expected it then. I don't think they expect it now. What I think Nebraskans want more than anything is to matter again. Because that's not just a Nebraska football thing. I think that's a Nebraskans thing.
So what's the difference? What's the difference if we're just comparing the two schools, Creighton and Nebraska? And we'll get to this next segment. Mac obviously staying at Creighton as Shrewsbury was hired at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Do I think Notre Dame talked to Mac? I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Do I think Mac was ever going to Notre Dame? I absolutely don't.
Sure.
At no point. You know that because of how we texted a couple of days ago. What's the difference between the sentiment of Mac staying at Creighton, not going to Notre Dame, versus somebody wanting to, Matt Rhule wanting to come to Nebraska to fix it? One guy wants to kind of be the guy. The other guy is like, you know what? This is good here. This is where I want to be. We appreciate it. Does the expectation level change in those two scenarios?
I think stay right here. Place to pick up.
Hold that thought. Back after this on Coffee and Cream.
Coffee and Cream on Hail Varsity Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Welcome back. Pretty spirited stuff off air. We're still boys.
Always, man.
Stretch it out.
It's just sports.
Oh, man. As we welcome you back to Coffee and Cream, Brian Edwards coming up in just about 13 minutes. So I think the question, like in terms of perception in the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mack stays. However many overtures he turned down from Notre Dame.
And for what it's worth, I think he's had way more overtures over the years than we are aware of.
Zero question about that.
Because I know I'm aware of more than the general public is.
Zero question about that.
And I am sure that I'm not aware of all of them.
Yeah. And not that I'm all in, you know, Coach Max Kool-Aid trying to figure out the flavor. But I do feel like I have a decent pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I agree with you. But what? So if we're talking expectations,
sure.
Nebraska gets laughed at and kind of mocked from a football standpoint that we're being unrealistic. But you have a coach that people think is a pretty good coach that a lot of people had on the first of their to get list to kind of run into the fiery house and put it out,
including SEC teams.
Right, and. Well, my man just said in the opening presser, he's like, yeah, you know what? Let's get this out of the way. I did have other job offers. I picked Nebraska. Everybody's like, whoa. Who was it? Why did he? Like, he just said.
Yeah.
I mean,
And that's how he's been the whole time. He just tells us things that we don't need to know, but it builds a trust in him because we feel like he's telling us the truth. Mm. And we feel like he's being more transparent than he needs to be. You know how much equity that gains you with people? A ton.
Yeah. And I think
you should try to go coach somewhere.
I got it. He just was joking about being a meme.
Yeah.
Like when he got fired in Carolina.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that look that he has at the presser, where he's like, WTH.
Yeah.
Is going to be trending. That will be the equivalent to Mike Riley's. the point, right? Like, I just like, so my point is like we keep talking about expectations and unrealistic. Mac's not deemed as settling, even though he's staying with a really good team and
top
a really
program. We decided
top 25,
yeah.
Right? So why shouldn't those expectations be equal to or greater than? Versus how we look at a coach, then we can't for the life of us figure out, man, why would he come here? Why, of all the things that he could do, like, why Nebraska? Do you get the how disjointed those pictures are?
100%.
One, we can't get our minds around, but we think it's something more than what it has been. Mm-hmm. The other is more than what we think it is, and we're afraid to speak it into existence.
I mean, some people are, for sure. I think there's a couple things happening there. Even despite the lack of on-field success for Nebraska, I think Nebraska is a better football job than Creighton is a basketball job.
I 100% agree with you.
And that has – when I say job, I mean what's surrounding everything, right? Creighton is currently a better program than Nebraska is in basketball than Nebraska is mm-hmm. in football, right? They're having more success right now. Nebraska is a better job because if you come to Nebraska as the head football coach, you will want for nothing. You have the resources. You have the buy-in from fan base. You have, you're going to be sold out every single game. You're going to have everything you could possibly want. You've got the history of national success. There is not a single thing. Can you think of one thing except for location, if you want to talk about a recruiting base or whatever, and I'm taking that off the table right now, is there a single thing that Nebraska can actually change that you would want as a head coach that they do not currently offer?
No.
That's my point. Creighton doesn't have football money. Creighton doesn't have the Nebraska NIL money. I'm not saying they don't have NIL. We know we do. We know they do. We know they put together competitive packages for players.
Yeah, Creighton's NIL structure as it currently sits is better than Nebraska's.
But
relative to the sport. So I just want to say that. Relative to the sport.
They're never going to probably be able to outbid a Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, Duke for anybody.
Yeah. But in the same vein, though, I do know that there are some schools that are, if they're recruiting like players that Coach Rule and that staff are thinking, man, ain't no way. Because if those guys want to pay for those players, they just can.
Sure. And I totally understand that. There's places like that in football, too. But I think there's more places like that in basketball above Creighton than there are places like that in football above Nebraska in terms of what they're able to
get.
That's
a good distinction. I cannot debate that. You left me no wiggle room.
So while Creighton, I think, is a better program currently, Nebraska's a better job.
No, so I
wanted to make that distinction.
So at what point, you know, and we're going to be knee-deep, right? You look at what Nebraska's doing this weekend on the recruiting trip. All we've heard about, this big recruiting weekend. I was talking about it with some staff last weekend, and it's like, well, you know, we'll see who shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like the proof will be in the pudding. So even for them, as much as we're
hyping up
the weekend,
yeah.
There's this level, and I'm not speculating because I hear it and I see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, this is what we do. We just got to go to work, man. We don't know what's going to come out of this weekend. It's good to be in this position. We'll see who shows up. Things change. Some guys come on a Friday. They'll leave. Some guys will be here on a Saturday. You know, we'll see how it goes. But we're just going to work.
Well, that I was just going to say. You hit the word. You hit the word I was going to say right there. They're putting in the work to put themselves in this position so they feel okay about however it plays out.
Okay.
They're removing themselves from the results because they trust the work they've done.
All right, so let me ask. So, okay, cool. I'm glad you can think on your feet because my next one is this. Remember how this original conversation was sparked. Austin said, hey, man, Creighton is Iowa in terms of expectations. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If this staff is just going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said there's two things that I want people to do. You said you want them to be accountable. This was way back before we took the first break. What were those two adjectives you wanted?
Accountability and responsibility.
Accountability and responsibility, right? It seems like that's all this staff talks about.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I can't help but be bought in.
Okay. So if they're just – remember when Coach Rule said – I don't know. You guys think we're, like, working hard or, you know, we're being exceptional. Hey, we're just going to work. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, Are we supposed to be recalibrating our expectations on the fly if that's just what they do? I'm not saying they expect to get, you know, recruiting weekends like this in March. Mm-hmm. But we – you guys do realize, and gals, you do realize if they had their druthers, they would be having people come in on game days.
Yeah.
Not in the spring.
Right.
And certainly not in the summer.
Right.
They would be game day experiences.
That's the best experience you can have in Lincoln.
So if they're doing this now, mm-hmm. quietly, our expectations changing, and we haven't even done anything in the win-loss column. Because you said, and we're trying to talk about, there's this level of consistency that this staff is going to operate under where it's just cost of doing business. It's just how we do business.
Yeah, they've
So what's wrong? So... And I'm not defending. I'm asking mm-hmm. the question. So what's wrong with Iowa having set not spoken out loud expectations? Mm-hmm. Because in their head, they're rationalizing it by saying, this is just how we do business. They're not beating their chest saying,
sure.
Be cool with 8 or 7 or no championships. Like, they're just doing business how they do business, and they're yielding some consistency. Creighton is just doing business mm-hmm. how they just do business, mm-hmm. and they're yielding some consistency.
So here's the disconnect between Iowa and Creighton in that sense, right? Creighton's regular seasons have not matched up with their lack of postseason success. They've had really, really great regular seasons that hasn't translated to March.
Okay.
So that's where the disconnect is in expectations for Creighton. For Iowa, you're right. If that's the standard they've set and they're okay with it, then we can all kind of laugh about the standard they set. But if that's what everybody's okay with internally, then that's, you kind of just have to accept it. Because, okay, occasionally you're going to have your 6-win seasons. Occasionally you're going to have your 10-win seasons. And if you're okay with taking as many 6s as you are 10s, then that's a decision I can't make that decision for Iowa.
Do you know what I think deep down probably bugs this staff?
What's that? Iowa, or Creighton?
Nebraska.
Okay.
What I bet you deep down bugs this staff, because they pushed all sorts of buttons. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'd like this. We'd like to change this. Hey, this is a new way to do things. Hey, let's add this to our support staff. Mm-hmm. Where they basically have an economist on staff.
Okay.
Right? Like Sean Patton is... Hey, anyway,
yeah.
So I think the one thing that probably eats at them a little when it comes to change and evolving and resetting expectations is I think they think relative to the SEC, mm-hmm. the Big Ten plays it safe.
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't think they want to play it safe because – they want to shake things up because I think the thought process is mm-hmm. what we've been doing hasn't worked.
Sure.
Stop sitting around waiting to collect a check. Like, what's the incentive for Indiana to want to win football games?
Not a lot.
Right?
Especially because their fan base would rather them win basketball games.
So I just think they got to be thinking to themselves, man, do you know how much experience we have with guys at Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
They got great relationships with guys at A&M. They got great relationships with these guys from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is to step on the gas.
Yeah.
Because they have all these experiences with a conference that all they do is step on the gas. Right? Like, even Mississippi State fires coaches, and you'd think Mississippi State would be content to collect a big check. They're not, because in the SEC, the competitive spirit mm-hmm. is different.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a geographic thing. I don't know. By geographic thing, I mean this. There's a tendency in the Midwest to kind of be, I don't know if passive is the right word, but a little bit more deferential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and I feel this too. I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, so I'm not hating on anybody that doesn't include myself. I think there can be an inferiority complex there sometimes. So I think within the Big Ten, especially some of the non-premier programs, so you're not your Ohio States, Penn States, Michigans, although I think Michigan plays it a little safe sometimes too. I think there is a, well, we're good enough. We're not the SEC. We don't have the access to talent that the SEC does. We don't.
Do you know where that comes from, though? You're playing nine conference games.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Right? You're willing to sacrifice a paycheck.
Yeah.
Than to put your top teams in position for a chance to make postseason.
I understand that. And here's, I agree with you. Because Ohio State operates differently than everybody else in the conference.
But do they have to, though? Like, we say that and we're like,
they feel like they have to in order to compete for championships.
Bro, but we even speak it into existence. We go, oh, everybody but Ohio State and maybe Michigan. Like, do we know how that sounds? Like, do you think the people at flipping Kiewit or, no, like Deloitte and Touche are like, well, everybody else and name like two other great tax folks, right? Everybody but such and such and such. No, Deloitte and Touche is like, look, man, like, this is everybody. Who we are.
I understand. That's how it should be. I don't think everyone in the Big Ten operates that way. I don't think Iowa operates that way. I don't think your Illinois, Northwesterns, a lot of the Indiana's, Purdue's operate that way. Like, I don't think you're going into Purdue and with the goal of let's make a college football playoff. Maybe as a coach you do. I don't think the administration thinks that way. I think every single team in the SEC, maybe outside of Vanderbilt, goes in and says our goal is to make the SEC playoff. Or to make the college football playoff, because we're in the SEC and we can. Mm. The Big Ten could have that very same mindset, and they just don't.
Well, so I just want to, as all the pictures are starting to trickle in from practice, I assume they're getting off to a good start, which I always love. I think I'm okay. Because of the balance and mindset where you're going to get accountability, you're going to get authenticity. Mm-hmm. But the competitiveness, I think, is way different than we think it is. And they've talked about
– in a good way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's talked about battling the Disneyland mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where – that's why he's constantly pushing.
Yeah.
And seeking and pushing. Because sometimes I don't think he wants to be the smart. We talked about this. I don't think he wants to be the smartest person in the room. So he challenges himself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he'll say, hey, you know, when such and such left Carolina, like, that's when it all went downhill. Like, I need that guy. Or, you know, she came from here. She knows this trait. She knows this particular facet. I need to be around her. I need my notepad and pen, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this weird kind of grind when you pit it with his consistency of the message. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, listen to me. Pull up something I said 4 years ago. It sounds a lot like me today because there's only a few core things that I believe in that I'm going to keep regurgitating. My goal is to stay on the gas by surrounding myself with people that I think can help me next level this thing.
So here's what I'll say about that, and I think it goes to one of the core problems Nebraska football's had, is Matt Rhule is 100%, it appears, 100% committed to who his identity is, and who the identity of his football teams will be. Now, a lot of times when we say identity, people assume we're talking about scheme, right? Oh, we're a spread option team, mm-hmm. or we're a power eye team, or we're a West Coast team, or we're an air raid team, right? Identity doesn't have to be about scheme. Identity can be about who you are to your core.
100% agree.
Because we're going to go back to Osborne
that's
here.
That's pretty good.
I know it's going to trigger some people here, but because anytime I talk about Osborne, people lose their minds. But what's the thing that people forget about Osborne?
That's pretty.
How many different schemes did he end up running? It's more than one.
Yeah, a couple.
two, maybe three.
Yeah, a couple.
Right?
Yeah.
The triplets ran a different scheme than you guys did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At the very least. And they were very different.
And at the tail end, we got even more different with the QB power run game.
Exactly. Right? So several different variations, at least two distinct schemes. Right? So his identity wasn't in his scheme. His identity is about how he went about his business.
Could I get you, before you finish, could we agree that you had to run the ball? However you got there, you had to run the ball as a scheme.
I don't even know that you did.
God, we did though.
I mean, you chose to.
He wanted to run the ball.
He wanted to, and it worked.
That's all he taught. He's like, we got to figure out a way to run the ball.
Because that's what he believed in philosophically as a football coach.
Okay, so that's the one thing that I think overlapped the different ways to get there.
Sure.
Okay.
But you can, I mean, now you can, hey, we have short passes that simulate the run game.
He wasn't like that, but
I'm saying you can achieve the same goal as a running game using different schemes.
I apologize. I hate to be the guy where, because I've had people talk to me like that, where they pick apart everything. I'm not trying to be that guy.
No, I understand.
I'm trying to.
But there was a
common thread was
running
run the ball. Yeah.
But to me, that is more a football philosophy than his identity.
Okay. I'll finish.
And listen, you know him better than I do.
But
obviously.
That's not the point. I like different perspectives.
What I see from the outside, and from somebody who didn't live through the 80s of it, obviously, but was a kid in the 90s and watched this and have done my homework on how things went before that, the identity was how he did things. Mm-hmm. Not what he did, how he did things.
I 1,000% agree with you.
So when you look at that, the thing Nebraska has been missing in football is an identity. And we all thought, myself included at times, was like, well, they don't know who they are, which I think has been true. But when people say they don't know who they are, we assume it's like, well, are they a power run team? Are they a spread option team? Are they an air raid team? Whatever. That's not what they were missing. You can get it done. We've seen it across college football. That's one of the things I love about college football. You can get it done in so many different ways. Mm. But the one thing you really can't avoid is having to know exactly who you are in the way you go about your business. What you are versus how you get there are different things. And the how is more important than the what.
Okay, so let me. Okay, so I'm vibing, mm-hmm. right? Right? I'm listening. So how about, could the manner in which they do it be what he's talking about in terms of, gosh, and I could tie this, I could thread this thing across the board, recruiting, right? Hey, I know this is a big weekend. It kind of turned out to that. Hey, how many do you think you're going to have? Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see who shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah, you know.
I bet he knows exactly who's going to be here.
But really he doesn't, because I'm telling you. Because people cancel all the time.
No, I get there's variance, but I bet he knows, okay, max it's going to be this number. Minimum, it's going to be this number.
So he said, we were talking about itineraries mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And he goes, I need to see it first.
Yeah.
We got to run it through, and I got to make sure it fits when we get a little closer to where we think the numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still was kind of unsure, but there's a couple things I think that are non-negotiables that may be what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Where he's got to be able to say to Donnie Raiola, hey, listen. What's a good example? I know during this period you're going to want to put your pads on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. We're not putting our pads on this period. Or to Coach Dvorak, hey, listen, I know you guys are going to want to warm up about 15 minutes. Don't. We're going to do it. So he's inserting these kinds of mm-hmm. things. Or wear this. Or be here at this time.
So it's more that stuff that I'm talking about.
That's what. So I'm kind of. Yes. I'm kind of vibing.
Like some of it's probably the practical. Like, hey, we're not doing pads today. We're not. He talked about this. It's like, I don't really believe in the shell. Either we're in full pads or we're not.
It's beautiful.
You know. He's not. So some of it's stuff like that. But I think more of it's like, hey. We're where we need to be on time all the time, or you're suspended.
That's more T.O.-ish.
That's the how.
That's what you're talking
that's
about.
That's the how you go about your business.
Because I'm just listening.
The pads and stuff to me is the what.
He's a lot like that.
That's what I mean.
Like,
and I don't know him at all, but that's what I've gathered just from what I've seen.
It's crazy. Like, you know, he spent X amount of time walking them through how each of the however many periods they were going to have were going to look like the day before.
Yeah. It's the how you go about your business.
I would do that with my youth teams, and I would do that in high school. And he's doing it in college. I mean, everybody to a man, staff, the whole nine, the GAs, the support staff, the equipment guys, everybody did the walkthrough.
It's because if what you've been doing hasn't been working, you break it all the way down to the foundation, and he's rebuilding the foundation.
Mm. Ramon, stay right there. We got a little more whip for you. Coffee and cream in the morning.
Coffee and cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
Coffee and cream in the morning. Ravi Lula filling in for Andrew Rogers, who is currently down in Lincoln getting his eyeballs on practice.
Talking about practice.
Practice, not a game, not a game.
Not a game.
And listen, it hurt me a little bit to be here and not be at practice. But guess what I didn't need? If I wasn't that hurt. I didn't need a personal injury lawyer. But if you do, if you suffered an accident, you can count on the Dire Law team to provide you a helping hand. Just a helping hand when you need it, no matter what you're dealing with, which I think is kind of the key. Can't be afraid. Call Dire Law at 402-393-7529 or visit dire.law to chat with a trusted professional about your personal injury claim. That's dire.law, and that does not include, you cannot call and say, hey, listen, I didn't get a chance to watch practice. I'm a little traumatized. Or, hey, I know you have some media stipulations on former players. I would like some consultation. I don't believe Dire will field that call. Now, they're cool, so they'll listen.
Yeah.
But I don't think
Dire, I don't know that falls under personal injury.
No. Let's take a quick call as we're in the middle of a fantastic conversation. Let's go to Ramon. Ramon, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, there's that voice. What's up, buddy?
Hey, last week, my wife and I were talking to your wife.
Okay.
And that's how I found out about the show.
Oh, am I slipping? Am I not doing a good enough job with advertising? Where'd you see her? West Side?
At work.
Open house probably something. Yeah, at work. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, the parent-teacher conference.
Got you.
Yeah, my coworker Susan told me, too, the other day, because she's a big fan.
Oh, okay.
But what
shout
both
out,
didn't
Susan.
Tell me was that you have the extra seductive coffee and cream flavored production.
We kind of stumbled into that one. Some people made fun of us. We thought it may stick, man. I don't know, man. I appreciate it. How you been?
I've been good, man. My daughter just went to school. She asked me, why is it called coffee and cream? I said, well, you know. They're black and white, I guess.
I'll explain that one later, man. You like what you're hearing?
I'm excited. Shane is with the crew.
So. I couldn't do anything without my right hand man. Right? It's Some people need life preservers. I need Shane.
Yeah, when Susan was telling me about it, she says, hey, man, I haven't heard from you, so I had to call in.
Everybody knows the voice, man. But pretty soon when we kind of get rolling, we got a couple movie reviews because I'm mad about a few things that are happening on Netflix.
Okay, we'll have to address it and figure it out.
So real quick, why are they going to these things that only have like 3 or 4 episodes and leave me with more questions than answers? Mm.
I think some of them are just getting more popular because you can find those, you've been able to find those, but I just think they're having more notoriety lately.
Yeah, do you have anything that I need to be checking out before we let you go?
You know what? I really haven't been watching much lately. I'll have to get back into it.
Yeah. Let me know, man. I don't sleep much these days, so let me know what I need to be streaming.
I will. I was just going to say, real quick, this morning you were talking about moving.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved into a new build, they had, you know, they watered the side nonstop. And when, after we moved in, we found out that our bill was based on an estimate, so it was completely obnoxious. Now, to MUD's credit, they fixed it when we called in, and they did it based on the actual count of the meter. Uh-huh. But we didn't know they ever just estimate your bill to make it like $1,200.
Hey, that's what happens when you get those big levies and you build, my man. I mean, good on you. Mr. 3.7, 3.6, I'm sure. Anyway, Ramon, I won't put you out there, man. Good to hear from you.
All right, you too. I'll take it easy.
That's my guy, man. Great, one of the greatest voices in America. Not much he hasn't seen on television either. I want to go back to something that you were talking about with because I'm kind of starting to put, you know, a lot of it is making sense when I hear it. One of my coaches, and he's won a state championship and had a ton of success, so he pretty much knows what he's talking about. But he says the how is the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Defines this is what we do. I wonder what a shock to the system, and you know, I'm kind of talking to the guys now here and there periodically about the differences and not wanting to compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Because there's this stretch where you go, I can't believe we were doing it like X now that we know how to do it like Y. Because mm-hmm. there's that spot where you're kind of in your feels.
Yeah.
And it takes some snapping out of, kind of like as a player, because a couple, two, three things happen. You either feel guilty
mm-hmm.
that you didn't know better, right? So you blame. There's that self-blame.
Yeah.
Or there's the self-pity where it's like, man, I can't believe I wasted X amount of time, and we could have been doing it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the, man, I embrace it. Let's go. I'm all in. And there's a fourth, actually.
Anger.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just resist
it. You're just mad.
Yeah. You just you resist it.
Yeah.
Because you can't snap out of it. See,
well,
that,
there's two versions of anger, right? There's the one where you're mad that people are changing things on you. And then there's there's one where you're mad that the last person didn't teach you right.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I, that's why I was pretty proud. I mean, I don't know. I'm like that. That's why I commended Ethan Piper, because I think it's hard for these guys to take the podium
mm-hmm.
and not be able to say, listen, man, we did what we were told. We didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But there are some guys that maybe felt like they knew better. It was just allowed. And then there are those guys that just aren't going to conform, which is why, and I said this the other day, and I should have given it more context, because I didn't want people to take it and run. But there's an older layer to this team that I was concerned with.
Sure.
About making wholesale changes. I felt like the administrative, I felt like Trev and his crew, like they would eventually get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when iron sharpens iron, you're going to get some sparks.
Yeah.
Right?
So there'll be friction.
So they'll be pushed.
Yeah.
But it's good. Coach Rule's staff will be pushed because it's a little different than they're accustomed to, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I was worried about some guys having to transition that had been allowed or had, I guess for lack of a better term, able to do some things that they now can no longer do.
So I think there's a key element to that that really helps prevent that, and it's just that they weren't very good.
Yeah, but
if you had success doing something your old way,
it's
a lot harder. I know some people are still wired that way, but it's so much harder to change something when you've had at least some success doing it your way.
You've heard him say, and he slid it in. He said it once to Will Compton on Bussin' with the Boys. He said it to the media. He's like, listen, you guys were 4-8. Like, why are you worried about what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Right? But you don't, you're not going to alienate because you need
right.
You need help. But
you want
did subtly get his point across. But you can't let those guys – how would you – it sounds good for me and you,
mm-hmm.
but you can't say to Who could take it? You can't say to Luke Reimer, hey, man, I know you were all conference. You're scratching the surface of what you're capable of. That wasn't very good.
Well, so there's a difference between scratching the surface and it wasn't very good.
Well, some guys you just tell – I didn't want to throw them under the bus. No. But some guys you're just going to say, hey, listen, man, you weren't very good.
Which is true.
Right?
For a lot of guys, right? There's a lot of guys, especially guys on the O-line, for example.
And which is why he said early, great example, I don't subscribe to the whole we're not going to be a good O-line. We're going to be a good O-line. You got to call plays and have schemes that put guys in situations where they can accentuate their strengths.
And you have to.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said early, and we looked at him like he was crazy.
No, and you have to accentuate the things that your O-line coaches well. And you have to play. You have to call plays to his strengths and to the line strengths, right? So, I guess my point is, there's going to be some guys that resist change no matter what. Some guys you can say, "Hey, you were really good last year. I think we can make you better," or "I think if we do it this way, you'll help the team be better." Mm. There's some guys you can go to and say, "Hey, you're really talented. You haven't been playing very good football, though. Let's try and change that." And at the end of the day, you can build the relationships that allow you to say things like that. But if there's still guys that don't want to change, those are the guys that we're going to see no longer be with the football team.
Yeah.
Because if you're stuck in your ways of going 4-8, that probably doesn't have a place moving forward.
I would concur. Fantastic, man. That's Ravi Lula. Shane's over there on the ones and twos. We're live from the H&H Chevrolet studio. Coming up, my man Vegas B. Edwards, better known as Brian Edwards. Let's see if we can win you some money on Coffee and Cream.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio. Now, Vegas insider, senior handicapper, and fan of the cold Budweiser bottles, Brian Edwards.
It's got to be touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Brian Edwards.
I don't really love it.
Brian Edwards.
Were they using the cream cheese to butter the bagel?
Brian Edwards.
I'm going with the cowgirl.
Here is Brian Edwards.
There he is, at Vegas B. Edwards, MajorWager.com, one of our favorites because he's a fantastic storyteller. I'm still upset over Kamaru Usman, but B, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, brother. But you had to enjoy that another just epic performance from Justin Gaethje last weekend.
Listen, how live we at? It's funny, too. I was like, man, how live is plus 190? Like, that was pretty live. He's so sick of people picking against him in Vegas. Like, he just annihilates guys.
Shame on me. I stayed away. I didn't play any of those UFC fights last week. I stayed away. Hey, I was just locked into the madness. But I did watch the Gaethje and the Usman fight.
Hey, so sometimes, like, with no skin in the game, man, it's just fun to be a spectator.
Absolutely.
So what do we got? I think this one's interesting. I was talking when, you know, Ravi was co-hosting last week, and I was saying this week, Michigan State always seemed like a team coming in this one that had another gear in them. But everybody sleeps on K-State, even though their backcourt is fantastic. This one may be the best game of the bunch. No disrespect to Gonzaga and UCLA. But this has all the makings of a track meet.
Yeah, well, I'm staying away from the total. But, you know, I immediately, at the first under 16 timeout, I had buyer's remorse on backing Shaka Smart in March against Tom Izzo. But I think the Izzo factor has Michigan State as an undeserved favorite here, at least in my mind. I mean, Kansas State only shot 5 of 21 from 3, 24% last week. Kentucky beat them on the boards 42-23. Kentucky got 17 offensive boards. Keontae did not have a good shooting game, 5 of 14. And yet K-State still wins. And Marquise Noel from New York City has not been home in 3 years. Was at Arkansas Little Rock for 2 years. And then K-State has not been home to visit, not once. I mean, I guess they got into NYC on Tuesday night. But after his awesome performance last week, they are back in his hometown. And I just think K-State's better. I mean, props to Michigan State. They looked great last week. But I think K-State advances. And I think the Keontae Johnson, Marquise Noel story.
Noel's a stud.
It's kind of flying under the radar. I think after this weekend when K-State makes the Final Four that Keontae's story and Noel's story are going to get bigger.
He should have been a Husker. They had him on campus. He couldn't get medically cleared. And he's in Manhattan 10 days later.
Right there. Well, same with the Gators. I mean, we never medically cleared. I only think four teams. I think it was Memphis, K-State, and I feel like there was another one or two.
B, I'm still kicking myself over that because he's a stud.
Brian, on that next game, we've got Arkansas and UConn. UConn is a 4-point favorite. Probably going to be a super physical game. What do you like on that one?
Well, I got UConn at -3 early in the week. I guess I still kind of like them a little at 4. But look, I am scared big time that Dan Hurley is just going to get outcoached by Musselman. But I mean,
his really presser was trending yesterday. I was like, oh my goodness.
I mean, I'm really scared about the head coaching matchup here, but I'm still back in UConn. I thought they were the best team in the country November, December. They had a bad January, but since January 31st, 11-2 straight up, 10-3 ATS, 9 of those 11 wins by 9 or more, the 2 losses by 2 to Marquette at MSG 2 weekends ago, and by 3 at Creighton, you know, Sweet 16 team, no shame losing in Omaha. I got to go with UConn here, but again, I'm a little. It's not as big a play as my K-State and Miami. Those are my two favorites.
Okay, so I kind of been on this. I don't love them. I just said this is a better team, and I think I talked to you about them a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. I'm an ACC honk, right? And Miami's a better team than I think people really thought. I knew that they were hurt, and I hate their shot selection. But man, do they play hard. And they're confident, man. It doesn't always look pretty, but Larnaga's way better than the national media gives him credit for. They're getting 7.
Well, yeah, I love Larnaga. And, hey, that Drake team was good, man, all year. And the Canes were down by 6 with 4.5 minutes left. But like you just said, Damon, that you never saw one bit of panic in them. And the ACC Player of the Year, Isaiah Wong, had an unbelievable dud that night. It was 1 of 10 from the field. Yep. Had a season low, 5 points. But yet they found a way to survive. And then they put it to Indiana big time, and Wong bounced back big time. Look, they've won 11 of their last 13, but the two they lost, their double-double machine, Norchad Omier, who's back now, you know, got hurt
healthy.
First 2 minutes of the Duke game. They got killed on the boards. That doesn't happen if Omier's healthy. And then they were without Nigel Pack when FSU rallied from a 25-point deficit and beat them at the buzzer. But those are the only two games they've lost in the last 13, and they weren't full strength. They're full strength now. They're sky-high confident. I think it's a 50-50 game who wins outright. I mean, do I think Houston should be favored? Of course. But should they be favored by 7? Heck no, in my opinion. And last thing, Miami is an underdog this year. 8 times, 7-1 ATS with 5 outright wins.
Let's get to a total. The most underappreciated team in still left in the Sweet 16, not named K-State, is probably Tennessee. I think everybody thinks the coaching factor is going to kick in. They've been banged up. They go through some horrendous scoring droughts, but boy, do they clutch, touch, and guard. FAU won't back down. What do you like here in the total?
Yeah, so I'm going under. Now, I got it at 131 a couple of days ago. It's down to 129.5, maybe even 129. I still like it. Look, I've been critical of Barnes's March failures, so I got to tip my hat. What a masterful game plan. They bullied Duke, and they exposed them as soft, ended their 10-game winning streak, and sent them to Durham with hurt feelings. But look, it's not just Tennessee that plays good D. FAU plays good D. They held Memphis to 65 last week. Memphis averages 79.5 points per game. They held UAB to 56 in the Conference USA Tourney Finals. UAB averages 82.2. Unders on a 4-1 run for FAU. They've held 4 of their last 5 foes to 65 or less. The unders on a 9-4-1 run for Tennessee. But the push was 130 points, which mattered when I was under 131 early in the week. And then one of the overs was 131. So Yeah, low scoring games, I think that's what we'll get.
B, let's get to the other number one seed, Alabama, also a 7-point favorite in their matchup with San Diego State. I know you're on the plus 7 for Miami. Where are you at with the minus 7 on Alabama?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points here. I mean, my only concern with Bama is just that they, in program history, they've never been to a Final Four. They've only been to one Elite Eight. But I don't really think that it matters that much. I mean, look, they're 16-4 in 20 games against teams in the field. They've won 11 of those 16 by 8 or more, which is relevant, laying the 7.5 here. They've won 24 of their 31 games by 8 or more. San Diego State is 8-5 in 13 games against teams that made the field, but only one of those teams won a game, and that was Furman, who they beat in the round of 32. So their 8 wins, those 8 wins, those teams are long gone from this tournament. And Alabama has got 6-0 against teams that made the round of 32 and lost, and they're 4-3 and 7 games against teams that are still in the field. I just don't think the Aztecs have enough offensive firepower. Alabama eventually gets some separation and wins by double digits, in my opinion.
Maybe not a play, but just to get a feel, no coincidence they have the highest total at 149. I like Texas, the matchup is interesting. Sule Boom's a guy I watch a ton. He will be harassed. Will depth be overrated or underappreciated when it comes to Texas versus the few guys that will play for Xavier? Just 4, though. I don't know. I don't know if I trust Boom, and I think Texas's defense is better than we talk about out loud. What do you like?
I'm going to stop short of like. I lean Texas. I lean Texas. Man, Xavier looked horrible against Kennesaw for 30 minutes, but then their last 10 minutes of that game, and then they looked lights out in round two or round of 32. And they're doing all this without Fremantle, their third leading scorer. You know, props to Sean Miller. They've done a hell of a job. I think the run ends here. Lean to Texas, but I mean – if you're tailing me, that's a small play, if that.
Let me ask you real quick. 149 seems about right, but it is significantly – it's even higher than Gonzaga and UCLA, and I think they'll score. Does that seem like a lot to you?
Well, the way the unders were cashing last week, it does. It is the highest total we've got of the 8 games. I just don't have a feel for this total at all. I don't have much there.
Seems high. All right, we'll be a spectator. B.I., appreciate you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
That's the great Brian Edwards. Always good at what he does. You know Xavier inside and out. They play good enough defense just to get the ball back on offense.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're kind of built like some of the Creighton teams in years past, right? The pre-Kalkbrenner teams, basically, where – yeah, they probably didn't have as much interest in locking you up the way that they do now, but they were good enough that to let their offense carry them through. The depth concerns me a little bit without Fremantle, and they weren't super deep before, but talent-wise, and there's not a lot of teams that can score with them, as long as Sule Boom shows up, which he doesn't always.
Yeah, Xavier's going to play 7.
Yeah.
Texas will play 10.
Yeah. That could be a little rough.
It's a good 10. It'd be a frenetic pace. We'll see. Coming up, one of our favorites, fresh off of Vacacion, Michael Bruntz from 24/7 Sports. Back after this on Coffee and Cream.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
I think we're back. Does that mean we're back, Shane? We're just over here pretending to say naughty words.
Yeah, don't say naughty words, but you're back.
Is naughty too juvenile as we welcome you back to Coffee and Cream in the morning?
Naughty's by nature.
Yeah.
You know me, DB Alice.
Yeah, you don't. Hey, do we have Jacob with another two L's? Padilla? At least he corrected us in a hurry, right? He didn't let people say Padilla
for
a couple years. It's like, hey, man, it's Padilla.
Yeah, no, he corrected me pretty quick.
Did he?
Yeah.
You guys are still boys?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, because I want to make sure that we're still good.
You can't take that stuff. You can't take stuff like that personal.
No, but I mean, if what if people were like, you know, I'd correct Damien in a hurry.
Oh, people say my name wrong all the time.
What do they say, Ravi?
Ravi.
Ravi?
Yeah, Ravi, Ravi, all sorts of stuff.
Right. Do they get the two L's together with Lula?
Yeah, every once in a while somebody will try and say it like Luya, and I'm like, not Hispanic. No wow. Double L there.
Wow.
I mean, that's the Hispanic way of pronouncing
right.
Double L.
Like Yamos.
Yeah, yeah.
L-L-A-M.
And I'm like, yeah, it's not the Hispanic pronunciation. It's all good.
All right. Shane, is he with us?
We're here. We got him.
Young Jacob Padilla with Hail
like
Varsity.
Like Pirtle? Jakob?
Jakob Pirtle. Jacob, good morning, man. How are you?
Hi, guys. My double L is also pronounced like the L sound, so...
I like it.
Yeah, we got that in common.
Yeah. Padilla. So, listen, man, fantastic cover piece with Derek Walker. I fell in love after kind of reading the – and maybe it was you and I. I don't know where it originally started, but the 25 years old, the waiting 384 days to play, getting off to the rocky start, man, he was an easy guy for me to cheer for. What did you find out?
Yeah, for sure. And I focused on Sam Griesel for kind of my in the preview issue of the magazine for the basketball season, and I felt like kind of closing it out on the other guy that kind of that made this team his own and kind of helped help these guys kind of get over get that back to 500 and have a good season. So. I felt like that would be a good place to finish, and as I talked to him. I'm definitely glad I did it. First thing, I mean, got the idea just kind of diving into the numbers, and the gist of the story is we're talking about my feature in this month's Hail Varsity Magazine on Derek Walker is just kind of the evolution of his game. And you look at it, every step of his career, he was basically a different player. He was different at Tennessee than he was that first year at Nebraska, and then that second year at Nebraska, and that third year, and talk about playing, actually, because he had a red shirt before that. So, I mean, just look at, kind of dive into the numbers, and they used him completely different to the point where he kind of evolved into this point center here to close out his career this year. And it was kind of fascinating to dive into that and hear from him kind of walking through those various stages and how his game got to this point.
Jacob, I want to touch on that kind of evolution of his game. And we saw it. Early on in the season when Nebraska played Creighton and beat Creighton, people forget that happened. But how much do you think the struggles that Creighton had with guarding him, which they had a really difficult time, was the fact that he was kind of playing a different style again this year that they'd only seen for a couple games after he made his debut on the season that was totally different from how he had been in years past. Was that a factor at all in his success against Creighton, do you think?
I'm sure it definitely played into it, especially with the way that Creighton's so like scouting report heavy, and they really dive into that and shape their game plan around what they see. And even Fred and Sam Griesel mentioned it too, and kind of the larger ball handling responsibility load, they kind of came up with that down in their hotel at their MTE when obviously Walker was still out, missed the first game, played his first game of the season, that second game down there. And kind of after seeing the struggle, especially against St. John's, where teams just trapped and harassed Griesel and they didn't really have an outlet option, to beat pressure and all that, kind of put that in and realized that they were confident in Walker's ability to handle the ball, and just kind of put that in, and it became a huge part of the way they played the rest of the year. Kind of this season, like he was mostly a catch and finish guy at Tennessee, and a lot of that first year at Nebraska, but evolved into a pick and roll guy, a post up guy. And the evolution this year is kind of the ISO plays. And that goes with the ball handling and kind of the completely different role this year, where you look at his first four seasons of college basketball, he had 14 total isolation possessions, according to Synergy. At the end of the regular season, I didn't have time to update this with that tournament game, but he had 53 of them this year. It was his fourth most common play type, and he was really good at it. Almost 1.1 points per possession, 82nd percentile nationally. That was spot ups. The other one where you catch on the perimeter, kind of face up and attack. He was 1.2 points per possession as a role man this year. ISO was almost 1 point possession, 78th percentile. So like he just completely he became a playmaker, and this doesn't even factor in the assists. And I kind of wrote a story during the season about the Keisei Tominaga and the connection that Walker had with him. And so they just continue to find different ways throughout his career. Like, all right, let's try this with him. Oh, he's pretty good at that. All right, let's try something else. Oh, he's doing really well with that too. And he really adjusted to the players that were with him. The pick and roll deal was like Alonzo Verge, for all his flaws, he was a really good pick and roll ball handler, playmaker, passer. And those two had phenomenal chemistry. And so that was a huge part of Nebraska's offense last year. This year, Sam Griese was a completely different type of point guard. So the pick and roll volume went way down, but the ISO picked up, and the kind of the spot ups where you're catching and looking to attack. So he just really continued to work on his game and adapted to what the team needed of him and what his best fit would be with the other players on the roster.
Jacob, I got to take advantage of the fact you're down at practice. Got some early snapshots of what's going on. Does this look like the type of team that will be distracted with this recruiting weekend coming in based on what it is that they know that they really need to do to win games, and that's get better this spring?
Yeah, no, I think I'm sure that they've got everything compartmentalized. They were certainly engaged out there in the practice field. Everybody was taking part in a different interesting thing that I found that just kind of jumped out to me is they didn't really split up by position. They kind of mixed and matched the groups. Like he had groups with offense and defense going through kind of the same drills. You had groups with different players from different levels of the defense. You had linebackers and DBs mixed in with defensive linemen. And so like they didn't really split up into the kind of their positions until like late in the practice window we got. So I don't know exactly what the kind of the method behind that is, but it was certainly something that stood out to me from what we saw today. But yeah, you've got the coaches out there taking part, being active, obviously speaking up, you know, Rule walking around and kind of overseeing everything and made sure to probably the funniest thing saw today is Tommy Hill was back out there. And Rule walked over, saw him, was like, "Oh, who's this guy?" And pulled out his phone and like took a picture of him, got up in his face, like, "Oh, who's the new guy on the practice field?" So, Anthony Grant was out there too in a non-contact green jersey. So, didn't get to see a ton today, but those are some of the highlights, I think.
Always interesting to see the method to his madness. I'm sure Tommy Hill birthday, him tweeting out pictures of his truck and his dog did not warm the cockles of one Coach Rule's heart when you're currently not practicing.
Yeah, well, he's back out there today. So it's probably a good step forward for those guys. They had a handful of guys are still in the green non-contact, but they were still able to participate in the drills they were going through. Teddy Prochazka was out there in a green jersey, Javen Wright, a few other guys, Jake Applegate was. So only a small group of guys that were in kind of the gold non-practice jerseys off on their own.
Jacob, real quick here before we got about 40 seconds. I'm going to ask this question because DB can't. So we were talking about the recruiting weekend, and I know you don't get real deep into the recruiting the way you do some of the other stuff, but I know you're very familiar with a guy in Caleb Benning. Are people not paying enough attention because DB's here? But, like, that's a pretty big guy that's coming on campus this weekend, too. I mean, as good as some of the other guys in the state, right? Like, what am I missing here?
Oh, great student, too. Academic All-State, I saw today.
So here we go. Everything but playing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it seems like people aren't paying attention. Yeah.
I think that'll change here as we continue good senior season. I'm sure he'll have. So,
You're the man, Jacob. Appreciate you. Back after this, we'll talk a little college hoops. My man Ravi going to bat for me. God bless him.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hail Varsity Radio.
I think we're back. Does that mean we're back, Shane? We're just over here pretending to say naughty words.
Yeah, don't say naughty words, but you're back.
Is naughty too juvenile as we welcome you back to Coffee and Cream in the morning?
Naughty's by nature.
Yeah.
You know me, DB, I'll swear.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. Hey, do we have Jacob with another two L's? Padilla? At least he corrected us in a hurry, right? He didn't let people say Padilla
for
a couple of years. It's like, hey, man, it's Padilla.
Yeah, no, he corrected me pretty quick.
Did he?
Yeah.
You guys are still boys?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, because I want to make sure that we're still good.
You can't take that stuff. You can't take stuff like that personal.
No, but I mean, if what if people were like, you know, I'd correct Damien in a hurry.
Oh, people say my name wrong all the time.
What do they say, Ravi?
Ravi.
Ravi?
Yeah, Ravi, Ravi, all sorts of stuff.
Right. Do they get the two L's together with Lula?
Yeah, every once in a while somebody will try and say it like Luya, and I'm like, not Hispanic. No wow. Double L there.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's the Hispanic way of pronouncing
right.
Double L.
Like Llamos.
Yeah, yeah.
L-L-A-M.
And I'm like, yeah, it's not the Hispanic pronunciation. It's all good.
All right. Shane, is he with us?
We're here. We got him.
Young Jacob, Jacob Padilla with Hail
like
Varsity.
Pirtle? Jacob?
Jacob Pirtle. Jacob, good morning, man. How are you?
Hi, guys. My double L is also pronounced like the L sound. So
I like
Yeah, we got that in common.
Yeah. Padilla. So, listen, man, fantastic cover piece with Derek Walker. I fell in love after kind of reading the – and maybe it was you and I. I don't know where it originally started, but the 25 years old, the waiting 384 days to play – getting off to the rocky start, man. He was an easy guy for me to cheer for. What'd you find out?
Yeah, for sure. And I focused on Sam Griesel for kind of my in the preview issue of the magazine for the basketball season. And I felt like kind of closing it out on the other guy that kind of that made this team his own and kind of helped these guys kind of get over. Get that back to 500 and have a good season. So I felt like that would be a good place to finish. And as I talked to him, I was definitely glad I did it. First thing, I mean, got the idea just kind of diving into the numbers. And the gist of the story is we're talking about my feature in this month's Hail Varsity Magazine on Derek Walker is just kind of the evolution of his game. And you look at it, every step of his career, he was basically a different player. He was different at Tennessee than he was that first year at Nebraska, and then that second year at Nebraska, and that third year, and talk about playing, actually, because he had a red shirt before that. So, I mean, just look at, kind of dive into the numbers, and they used him completely different to the point where he kind of evolved into this point center here to close out his career this year. And it was kind of fascinating to dive into that and hear from him kind of walking through those various stages and how his game got to this point.
Jacob, I want to touch on that kind of evolution of his game. And we saw it early on in the season when Nebraska played Creighton and beat Creighton. People forget that happened. But how much do you think the struggles that Creighton had with guarding him, which they had a really difficult time, was the fact that he was kind of playing a different style again this year that they'd only seen for a couple games after he made his debut on the season that was totally different from how he had been in years past. Was that a factor at all in his success against Creighton, do you think?
I'm sure it definitely played into it, especially with the way that Creighton's so like scouting report heavy, and they really dive into that and shape their game plan around what they see. And even Fred and Sam Reese mentioned it too. And kind of the larger ball handling responsibility load. They kind of came up with that down at their in their hotel at the at their MTE when obviously Walker was still out and missed the first game, played his first game of the season, that second game down there. And kind of after seeing the struggle, especially against St. John's, where teams just trapped and harassed Griesel and they didn't really have an outlet option to beat pressure and all that, kind of put that in and realized that they were confident in Walker's ability to handle the ball and just kind of put that in, and it became a huge part of the way they played the rest of the year. Kind of this season, like he was mostly a catch and finish guy at Tennessee, and a lot of that first year at Nebraska, but evolved into a pick and roll guy, a post up guy, and the evolution this year is kind of the ISO plays, and that goes with the ball handling and kind of the completely different role this year. Where you look at his first four seasons of college basketball, he had 14 total isolation possessions, according to Synergy. At the end of the regular season, because I didn't have time to update this with that tournament game, but he had 53 of them this year. It was his fourth most common play type, and he was really good at it. Almost 1.1 points per possession, 82nd percentile nationally. That was spot up. So the other one where you catch on the perimeter, kind of face up and attack. He was 1.2 points per possession as a role man this year. ISO was almost 1 point possession, 78th percentile. So like he just completely, he became a playmaker, and this doesn't even factor in the assists. And I kind of wrote a story during the season about the Keisei Tominaga and the connection that Walker had with him. And so they just continue to find different ways throughout his career. Like, all right, let's try this with him. Oh, he's pretty good at that. All right, let's try something else. Oh, he's doing really well with that too. And he really adjusted to the players that were with him. The pick and roll deal was like Alonzo Verge, for all his flaws, he was a really good pick and roll ball handler, playmaker, passer. And those two had phenomenal chemistry. And so that was a huge part of Nebraska's offense last year. This year, Sam Griesel is a completely different type of point guard. So the pick and roll volume went way down, but the ISO picked up, and the kind of the spot ups where you're catching and looking to attack. So he just really, continued to work on his game and adapted to what the team needed of him and what his best fit would be with the other players on the roster.
Jacob, I got to take advantage of the fact you're down at practice. Got some early snapshots of what's going on. Does this look like the type of team that will be distracted with this recruiting weekend coming in based on what it is that they know that they really need to do to win games, and that's get better this spring?
Yeah, no, I think I'm sure that they've got everything compartmentalized. They were certainly engaged out there in the practice field. Everybody was taking part in a different interesting thing that I found that just kind of jumped out to me is they didn't really split up by position. They kind of mixed and matched the groups. Like he had groups with offense and defense going through kind of the same drills. You had groups with different players from different levels of the defense. You had linebackers and DBs mixed in with defensive linemen. And so like they didn't really split up into the kind of their positions until like late in the practice window we got. So I don't know exactly what the kind of the method behind that is, but it was certainly something that stood out to me from what we saw today. But yeah, you've got the coaches out there taking part, being active, obviously speaking up, you had Rule walking around and kind of overseeing everything and made sure to probably the funniest thing saw today is Tommy Hill was back out there. And Rule walked over, saw him, was like, "Oh, who's this guy?" And pulled out his phone and took a picture of him, got up in his face, like, "Oh, who's the new guy on the practice field?" So, yeah, Anthony Grant was out there too in a non-contact green jersey. So, didn't get to see a ton today, but those are some of the highlights, I think.
Always interesting to see the method to his madness. I'm sure Tommy Hill birthday, him tweeting out pictures of his truck and his dog did not warm the cockles of one Coach Rule's heart when you're currently not practicing.
Yeah, well, he's back out there today, so it's probably a good step forward for those guys. They had a handful of guys are still in the green non-contact, but they were still able to participate in the drills they were going through. Teddy Prochazka was out there in a green jersey. Javon Wright, a few other guys. Jake Applegate was. So only a small group of guys that were in kind of the gold non-practice jerseys off on their own.
Jacob, real quick here before we got about 40 seconds. I'm going to ask this question because DB can't.
Wait.
So we were talking about the recruiting weekend, and I know you don't get real deep into the recruiting the way you do some of the other stuff, but I know you're very familiar with a guy in Caleb Benning. Are people not paying enough attention because DB's here? But, like, that's a pretty big guy that's coming on campus this weekend, too. I mean, as good as some of the other guys in the state, right? Like, what am I missing here?
Oh, great student, too. Academic All-State I saw today.
So here we go. Everything but playing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it seems like people aren't paying attention.
I think that'll change here as we continue good senior season, I'm sure he'll have. So, yeah.
You're the man, Jacob. Appreciate you. Back after this, we'll talk a little college hoops. My man Ravi going to bat for me. God bless him.
Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
For the second time in NCAA tournament history, a 16 has beaten a 1, and the FDU Knights are that 16.
The Zags make it 8 straight. Sweet 16.
Final seconds come off the clock. How sweet it is for Miami.
And Creighton has done it. Punches. It's Sweet 16 ticket for the second time in 3 years.
A lot of great voices. Lisa Byington, Kevin Kugler, my very own, my bestie. As we are closing out Coffee and Cream, appreciate you fine folks being a part of what we do with a guy that does a lot of good work for CBS Sports. We won't give a chance to take advantage of his football acumen, but he'll cover that too for CBS Sports. Right now we're talking hoops and in particular madness as we welcome in David Cobb from CBS Sports. David, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Pretty excited about the slate we've got ahead the next few days.
Hey, how often, because it seems like this nationally, and I get it, left coast, it used to be football after dark, but Gonzaga and UCLA are going to take to court. It's a fantastic matchup, and for some reason, I get the sense it's an afterthought. How is that possible?
It shouldn't be an afterthought. I can guarantee you that, because if recent history is any indication, probably going to have a legendary type of game there. You remember it was just 2 years ago that Jalen Suggs hit that buzzer beater in the COVID tournament for Gonzaga to beat UCLA. One of the greatest shots in NCAA tournament history.
Johnny Juzang was going bananas.
Yes. It was a classic. And I don't know if we've forgotten about that because we just want to forget everything that happened in a, quote, COVID bubble. But that was a thriller. And you got some of the main characters from that game back. Drew Timmy still around. Julian Strotter played a role for Gonzaga. He's one of the key players now in this game. And then, of course, with UCLA, you still have Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell and those guys. So I think we've got all the ingredients of a really good game there.
David, wanted to ask you about Creighton. So, you know, obviously, you know, Omaha, Nebraska here. Assuming they can get past Princeton, which I'm not taking for granted, because I know Princeton's hyper efficient. But if they do, is Alabama beatable by a team like Creighton if Alabama advances as well? Because you just look at high-end talent, and Alabama's obviously got Brandon Miller. Creighton doesn't have anyone of that high-end NBA lottery caliber. How does that matchup, potential matchup, work in your head?
Yeah, it's Alabama is beatable. Now, it's a 1-in-10 type of chance, mm-hmm. even for a team as good as Creighton. Because what you need for Alabama to go down this weekend is a bad game really on both ends of the floor. And the only time that's really happened to Alabama this season was back in January. They went to Oklahoma for the Big 12 SEC Challenge, random game. They were on a roll. I think they'd already made it up to number one, and they just got spanked, lost by 24 to a team that didn't even make the NCAA tournament. And it was a bad shooting night, and then Oklahoma had some dudes who just started going off. And I do think Creighton has those type of dudes who can go off. I saw Baylor Shireman in person put the team on his back on the road at Seton Hall, you know, a month or so ago, and was really impressed with that. And then, of course, you know, Trey Alexander can do that, and obviously Kalkbrenner in his own way can take over a game. So, yes, Creighton is capable of beating Alabama, but you need that rare combination of Alabama being off offensively and then off defensively as well, because they're just elite on both sides of the ball. But Creighton is disciplined enough. Creighton is well coached enough. And the thing that I kind of like about the matchup for Creighton is, you know, they don't go super deep. So especially with Mason Miller out, I mean, you know, they're gonna have guys out there who get in a rhythm, and if that's a good rhythm, then it could give Alabama trouble.
And it's interesting because all the games tonight, and I love it, are 5 points or less according to Vegas. So whether that means they'll be tight games, the expectation level is that they'll be tight, and that includes Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. Is Tennessee underappreciated because of their health and lack of offensive prowess, or is Florida Atlantic finally getting the respect that their regular season says they should get?
Yeah, I think it's probably the second part of that, because FAU is not a fluke. They aren't a cute Cinderella team, really. That's Princeton. That's Fairleigh Dickinson. So FAU is just an all-around good basketball team with some dudes. I mean, they are one of the deepest teams in the country. They're a really good three-point shooting team. And they get after you defensively. There's just not a ton of obvious weaknesses on FAU's part. They rebound well, even though they're small. That's one thing I think this tournament has taught us, is that rebounding isn't so much about size as it is about effort, as it is about a coordinated strategy to attack the glass. And if you have that, you can mitigate a size disadvantage. And FAU has a size disadvantage against Tennessee. I'm curious to see how this game plays out, because the types of teams that have given Tennessee problems this year are those FAU teams, those undersized, up-tempo teams that can get hot from the outside, because on those rare instances when you can take advantage of Tennessee's defense with a group like that, Tennessee just doesn't have the offensive firepower to keep up. So this is a tough spot for the Volunteers tonight.
I want to ask you about UConn and Arkansas. One of the more interesting matchups in my mind, UConn at times this year looked like the best team in the country. Arkansas with some really high-end talent and has been a little more up and down. What do you make of that matchup? Do you see a clear advantage one way or the other?
Yeah, I kind of like UConn because I think there's just so many different ways that UConn can beat you. Really, the only way that Arkansas can beat you is to get you sped up, turn you over, get out on the break, or break you down off the dribble with some talented guards. But one, UConn's pretty good defensively. They don't have a lot of guys out there who can get broken down off the dribble. And UConn with Sanogo inside, he was so dominant on the first weekend that you're almost going to have to double team him. And when you do that, UConn has the shooters around him to make you pay for it. So it's almost like a pick-your-poison situation with the Huskies, because it's either, all right, let Sanogo do his thing on the interior, or be okay with UConn getting some good looks on the outside. And I think one of those two things is going to work for UConn and make them really tough to beat this weekend, because they have returned to the form that you mentioned. They were one of the best teams in the country at times this season, and they're starting to look like it again. So you never doubt Eric Musselman this time of year, for sure, but he has squeezed every bit, I think, out of this Arkansas team that he possibly could. And, man, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he makes another Elite Eight run, but I just think UConn is playing some really good basketball right now.
Maybe it's the Izzo factor, and it is March. And I did say early on, said it too much now, Michigan State seemed like the Big Ten team that had the most room for growth the last third of the season. But tonight, if it's a guard-driven game, which I believe it is, who has the better backcourt? in your opinion, Kansas State or Michigan State?
I lean a little bit towards Kansas State in that matchup. Marquise Noel, we saw what he did against Kentucky, and that's kind of who he's been all year. Undersized guy, began his career at Little Rock, transferred to K-State, stayed through the coaching transition from Bruce Weber to Jerome Tang. This guy has been around the block. He is a grinder. He is a gamer. Tyson Walker's been awesome for Michigan State. He's from New York, too. He's that gritty, undersized transfer, formerly overlooked. It's a phenomenal matchup in that way. But I like the complimentary piece there that K-State has and Marquise Noel has and Keontae Johnson. He's not really even a complimentary piece. He's their leading scorer. He can be their best player. Noel's maybe the more interesting story tonight, but Keontae Johnson, boy, he's got a story himself. Having collapsed on the court at Florida, it looked for a while as though his career may be over. He resurfaces in the Big 12 and helps lead this turnaround with Kansas State. So I like K-State's backcourt. They've got a third guard there in Desi Sills who kind of does it all. And I don't think Michigan State's guards are big enough to punish Kansas State for playing relatively small. So I like K-State's guards in the matchup. Front court,
Noel's got he's got to take better care of the basketball. Houser,
but you're right, it's a guard-driven game, and I like the edge that K-State has there.
David, want to zoom out a little bit here with you. You've got half of your ones and twos are gone already. Who do you think has both the ability and kind of the cleanest potential path to being crowned as national champion?
Well, I definitely think Alabama's path is the most favorable. And no, don't get me wrong, San Diego State's going to try to drag them into the mud.
Oh, yeah.
Try to out-physical them, out-muscle them. Creighton is a very well-coached team. Neither one of these games is going to be easy for Alabama. But if you really step back and look at who has the most favorable path, or who, you know, would have the most favorable betting odds to reach the Final Four as of this moment, it is Alabama. They are so talented, so deep. There's off-court controversy there that makes them less likable. But if you kind of take that away and just think about it strictly from a basketball perspective, if you're filling out a bracket, Alabama has the best path. And Houston, not far behind. I think they, you know, obviously deserving of their number one seed. Got a tough matchup with Miami. I like Houston, and then UConn would be another team who I think quietly, because of how well they're playing, has a reasonable path. But all told, it's Alabama out of that South region with the clearest path to the Final Four.
Did Notre Dame get it right with Shrewsbury, even with the overtures and the rumors and the Coach Mack stuff? Do you like Shrews in Notre Dame?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that, honestly, not all that much of a schematic departure from the way Mike Bray played at Notre Dame. Because if you go and look, Bray's teams in Notre Dame, especially the last several years, shot a ton of three-pointers and didn't always have that big-time bruiser on the interior. And that was very much who Penn State was this past season. So I think schematically it makes a lot of sense. Notre Dame, they're going to be getting a younger, more savvy version maybe of what they had, which I think is a good thing. Bray was really good there for a long time. And two of the last three seasons, it didn't go particularly well, but they did win an NCAA tournament game a year ago. So that program isn't at rock bottom, even though they had a bad year. Shrewsbury is going to have a chance to come in there and scheme up the ACC at a time when that league is really down and really struggling. I mean, there's a chance here for Shrewsbury to immediately sort of make Notre Dame a basketball power, a top third of the ACC type of group. And I think what he showed at Penn State in just 2 years suggests he can do that.
David, appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the weekend. Should be fantastic.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate Ravi Lula, all our guests, Shane Schillerberg, Coffee and Cream. We're back tomorrow, 7 a.m.